You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. Visit us at mashthosebuttons.com.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to Double Tap. This is Mash Those Buttons podcast dedicated to the FGC. Another week, and I'm also your host for this week as well. My brain literally turned off when I said that. I was like, hold up, that's incorrect. I'm Dre, aka Crash. I got Meza in the building. He's back. He's all good. I know last week he took a step like halfway through the show. He had to take care of some business. You know what it is. Sometimes you just got to.
Life.
That's exactly. Life. It's always an unblockable when things like this come up. And then, of course, we got Static G in the building. Of course, fresh off of watching WrestleMania and then some, still blitzed over that.
Correct.
It was a big weekend.
Correct. Sorry, that's also a phrase from WWE. So there you go.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could guess who's actually a wrestling fan out of the three of us here. At least current wrestling fan, anyway. I think we've all been...
Yeah, y'all still smelling what the Rock is cooking.
A little bit. Even before that, brother. Mm-hmm. Even before that. Got him! All right, cool. So, guys, welcome. Of course, this is Double Tap. This is a podcast dedicated to everything and anything in the fighting game community. We are live here. We are live here. Of course, this is the 12th of April. This is episode 215. We are live here on the Mash Those Buttons Twitch page as well, of course. So if you want to check out the show a day earlier, this normally comes out on Tuesdays, but we're usually live on Mondays. Make sure to go check it out on Twitch. So we've got a lot to talk about. We're getting closer and closer to some things I'm very excited to talk about. I know we just had last week Tong come through for an interview from Tampa Never Sleeps. If you guys are, you know, Marvel fans in any way, shape, or form, you sure as hell know what that tournament is. If you missed that episode, you should go back to last week's and go check it out. Get some insights on the man, the myth, the legend that is keeping the Marvel scene alive out there in Florida. Shout out to you, homie, for coming through once again. So we got some trailers to talk about. We've got some updates that happened literally the day after. I know we broke down some updates that happened live on the show. We're going to go into some of those details as well. So it's going to be kind of jam-packed with a lot of goodies. So let's get right into it. So Fighter's Corner, we've got someone that no one's really... I know that the goal is shatter expectations, but you weren't shattering much. As soon as her silhouette was shown, it was like, okay, well, we know who the hell the next character is going to be. And that's going to be Mai. So we got the Mai trailer that went live last... I think it was last Friday or Wednesday or something like that. I think it was on the 7th. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you.
She looks good.
I didn't care for this. I was like, well, we know Mai's coming,
she's literally the Chun-Li of this series, franchise. Like a franchise without her is isn't right. Like, you just can't do
this
that.
Is like
in the contract.
This is like getting excited for Ryu to come to the game. You're like, oh yeah, you know, I hope Ryu's gonna be in next Street Fighter, you know, 6. Yeah, we know he's gonna
Is Ryu gonna make it or not? It's like, yes. Why would you even ask that? Is Mai going to be in a KOF game? Yes, of course.
If you said something like Vanessa, came in, I would have understood. You're like, oh, okay.
That's... Yeah. So she's coming in, just putting a beat down on the Bogart boys for some reason. I don't know what's the deal there. Apparently, she's got a pretty big story apparently in this version. I think that was what was tweeted out, that she's got a very interesting story in this said game. Which, by the way, just to clear the air, because it took till one of our listeners to come in just set us right. So Zio, shout out to you, homie, for one, came in and was like, yo, he put the hammer down. I was like, yo, this is not a dream game, Meza. This is not a dream game.
I said nothing.
This shit is canon, among other things.
First
set
off,
us straight. So this is gonna be a canonical story in the KOF lore. So this is not a what if instance. But this ain't Marvel. This ain't no what if.
Okay, he did state, I am correct, that Dream Games, though, are not canon.
Are not canon. No, yeah, absolutely.
That's all I was saying.
We kept calling this game that it was a dream, but sure, in fact, it's been confirmed that it is not. Goes to show us, you know, we're not, like I said, we're not KOF lore masters or keepers here, straight up. I will not pretend that I am. We're not pretend that we are. It's just, from what we've kept up with, I did not know in 14 a whole lot of this ish got you know, the script flipped.
I didn't either, really. I mean, I didn't really care too much, like, pay too much attention to the story. I didn't even know they had a comic book, so that's pretty cool. Shout out to Zio for bringing that up. But at the same time, man, I'm used to all these companies doing the same thing for years. What do you want me to do, man? You think I'm gonna stray away like they're gonna stray away? Look, I stand strong, all right? A Dream Game is non-canon. All right. So
you're not wrong. You're not wrong. So with her inclusion in the game, what I was expecting, this is the part that shattered my expectation. Which ironically, I keep doing that every week. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be this team. She is not, in fact, going to be on the team with King and Yuri. So that wasn't like announced afterwards. You know, when you usually have the third character, they tend to show you the team and name the team afterwards. We did not see that here. So it looks like they're not going to be the canonical characters in this story. So I'm curious to see as to who she's going to get paired up with, or maybe even one of the other previous two are not in it. Maybe that we have two out of the three that she is included, but it's not all three of them. They're not going to be a specific team.
I was looking at some stuff online and some people are saying, I guess she's not going to be team, like, you know, team female, team, whatever it is, femme fatale, whatever.
Femme fatale. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Femme fatale. So I don't know if that's a bad or a good thing, or is just change of like guard in a weird sense, but maybe it might open up some more doors.
I take it as an opportunity to, yeah, exactly. It's more really maybe supposed to reflect a little bit on what the story could be, or what they're trying to do with the story. Trying to kind of point you in a direction like, okay, look, they're not on a team here. These guys are on a team here. Maybe, you know, just give you little snippets, because they're not outright just giving us like, this is the story or something like that. Like we're not going to get that. This is the best we can possibly do to kind of put together what it could be. Are those little pieces that they're giving us? But yeah, at this point, not really sure.
Is it me, or does she look a little bit more, dare I say, anime? Like even her eyes are different. Like something's different about her face.
It looks a little bit more. Yeah, it's not very kiddish anime. Actually, she used to be more anime-ish. I feel like now it's like it's a little bit more serious and adult and womanly. It's a lot kind more
fantasy
womanly
lady
features.
Type. Yeah,
she's had features family before. Friendly, all right, friend. She's is family she? Friendly. She is definitely family friendly. I don't know what you're talking about. I was playing KOF when I was very very young in those bodegas and those Pizza Huts and such that had this arcade machine in the corner. God, I miss those days. Anyway, yeah. So she's made it. We don't know what team she's going to be on. We're just going to have to wait and see as to what they're going to drop. Shout out to those also that are on Twitch, on the Twitch chat. I just noticed you guys there. What's up? Appreciate, what is it? Koala. Thank you for giving that love for the podcast. I appreciate it for coming through. I literally just loaded up Twitch channel, Twitch page, and I saw that. Sorry for the late response. We were too much into the family oriented details. That is my, yeah, we're just gonna have to wait and see as to what team she's going to drop in. I mean, overall, she looks good. A couple notes. All right. Once again, not the biggest KOF lore here right off the rip. That is on some Anji type-ish. I don't remember her fireballs ever doing that.
I was going to say
where
that
they're a two-hit. And now it's like, huh, that's interesting. That looks dangerous. Like, they've always been pretty standard fireball. Just, you know, a fan, right? You can one for one. It's usually one hit of projectiles, and that's it. You can trade. But now it's like on hit and now spinning and could anti-air. So if you block, like, does it do that on block? Because if it's on block, then it's like, oh, what? That is some non-committal type of move right there. Yeah. And also that little hop that she did too over Terry on his part.
Oh, she's had that. She had that before.
She's had that, right? Okay. Yeah. I wasn't 100% sure. I was a 50-50 on that one. But the projectile for sure. That one I've
never seen that.
I was
before.
Like, I've seen.
That's new to me. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
She seems like Mai. I mean, with an extra additive, which is cool. I don't really care. I play her. She's cool, but not waiting for Mai. I'm waiting to see a character.
Who you waiting? Yeah, who you waiting on?
Personally, I kind of got the characters I wanted that didn't expect to make it to a new edition of the game. But I guess since Shuni made it, I got Mitekun, which I didn't even expect people like that character. But I guess storyline says otherwise. I personally got Benimaru. I don't really need anybody else. Right now, I just want to see new characters. I just want to see new characters. I want to see maybe a little bit more of the list of characters that they had for like 2002, KOF 2002. Maybe bring some of those characters back more of in a fashion of like storyline. Not everybody has to be there, just a few, just one or two, like maybe Bao or something like that.
Ironically enough, for me, I'm just hoping they bring Angel over. Team Mexico, I guess. But more specifically, Angel. I mean, she was in the last game. And ironically enough, it's just like she is like the most, one of the more wrestling orientated looking characters because she's got like a lot of callbacks to wrestling. And yet I'm not the biggest wrestling fan yet. I use her a lot.
Raiden, right?
Or Raiden.
I just had a real quick question though. When is this game coming out anyway?
We don't know. There's no date, dude.
And we've been getting consistent.
To my knowledge, I don't believe so.
And we've been getting consistent characters every week. If it's coming out in the fall and we're still getting a character every week, it's going to be a ton of characters in this game.
Can I be honest?
Oh, yeah.
I think...
No.
What? I probably shouldn't think this, but I personally feel it'll come out before EVO. Right around EVO. It would be a strong arm move. There's a lot of games that aren't going to come out during that time, and they would want a spot in EVO. I don't see why online if they're planning to shatter all expectations for online, and if they throw a rollback in there, guess what? Now you have a good SNK, you know, online fighting game that could get in.
What if they shatter all expectations and go like, we announced before EVO, oh, it's also on EVO and it has rollback. Mind blown.
We're using GGPO. Like you know,
mind fucking blown. Could you imagine? Instantly, like, yeah, you definitely held up the marketing team in there is like, guys, we killed it.
They're like, guys, we did it.
Shatter all expectations. You're saying left, go right. Go right three more times. So it's technically left, but you know what I mean. What
I mean, it would shatter my expectations because they've been just dropping characters. So I mean, even if they just came out with during EVO just to say, hey guys, this is the date. And we got rollback. We're using GGPO, you know, something like that.
It's gonna be an interesting situation. Yeah, like if they're gonna, it makes sense for them to announce that EVO, like when it's coming out. But the whole shattered expectations thing is if they manage to get that before EVO, and it would actually be a part of EVO. But that's like very, very tight.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the whole initial, you know, week by week character is supposed to symbolize that. Hey, we're gonna have an entirely super huge roster, or like at least a solid, you know, base roster, and then they're add to it. But like KOF's known for really having kind of bigger rosters, to be honest. They're kind of more on that side of the spectrum, especially on launch. So it's a 50-50. We'll have to see all these guessing games. But we don't have to guess. Like I said, is Mize in it? No surprise. But what the guess will be as to what team she's going to be on afterwards, so we'll just have to wait and see. In the meantime though, we've got, let me see, some MK stuff. One big note, of course, is next Friday, not this week coming up, but you know, we're T-minus like 11 days before the MK movie finally drops. I'm super stoked. Was talking to Static G about, you know, maybe an idea we might do for that movie. We'll discuss some more details and we'll definitely let you guys know. But we're super excited. I have high expectations from what I'm hearing, and also things that Static G has also been told me he could share. But I'm like, I don't want to get spoiled either.
Yeah.
That it's going to really live up to the name of MK. And I'm very, like I said, I'm very, very excited for it. So I'm kind of like staying away from since the last trailer that showed like Goro in it. I'm kind of like just blinders, dog. Like I'm trying not to see anything because I really want to sit down and actually watch this movie from the rip without any real spoilers. So all love to everyone that is also waiting. Hopefully you don't get spoiled because I'm like,
yeah, really, I saw it on a GIF on my 12 feed. It's terrible.
Yeah, 11, that's the hardest thing, man, is if you have to deal with social media and you're also into shit like, you know, movies or things that get released, like you get spoiled so quick unintentionally. Yeah. You have to like not do social media until you get that done, or else you will more than likely get spoiled, and it sucks.
So weird. Yeah. I'm so
when I used to be into social media,
and not see any of this stuff.
When I was into Walking Dead, I had to avoid Sunday nights just going on social media. Just had to
be like that. In the meantime, though, while we're waiting for the MK, MK movie, there is this really cool tweet that actually came up. Little lore here. This is several levels into the iceberg. I know I just told Static G what an iceberg video was, but for those that do know what an iceberg video is or don't know, it's basically when they take a franchise and there's different layers to it and they explore the different depths. The lower you go, the more really deep and into the depths that this franchise has. It could be rumors. It could be Well, mostly it's mostly rumors, I want to say, or extremely obscure facts about a series.
Or
and in what?
It's also it's also theories too. It's a lot of crazy theories that make sense, but may not.
That could fit, but it's never confirmed nor denied. So it's like I said, it's in the depth. One of them for the longest time when it came to Mortal Kombat was the inclusion of Johnny Cage or the non-inclusion of Johnny Cage in MK3. Because for those that are MK heads or might know a little bit the lore with Mr. Daniel Pacino, who was the actual actor for MK1 for Johnny Cage and several other ninjas and stuff too.
Yeah.
Reprised his role in MK2. And of course, at this point, MK1, MK2, like Mortal Kombat's now established itself basically in pop culture at this point. It is blowing up. It's an incredible franchise. He, and these actors, they got to get paid. They got to do their thing. And there was a separate, at that time, there was a separate game that he was promoting as Johnny Cage that wasn't Mortal Kombat. Oops. And that caused some issues, or at least people alluded to saying that that's some issues. And sure enough, when MK3 was coming out, Johnny Cage was not included on that. So they were like, oh my God, it's because he promoted this game. We under contract, he's in trouble. We can't use him. We can't have Johnny Cage in there because it's his likeness and stuff, right? It's technically when you're at least in that situation where your likeness is captured for a character, there's certain things you have to uphold, which like you can't be that character for any other franchise. That's been the long holding like rumor and statement as to why we saw Johnny Cage tombstone in the background in the cemetery. We're like, oh my God, he's dead, right? Johnny Cage was canonically dead in the MK world at that point. Well, John Tobias, one of the original OGs of MK, a super big component, it goes usually Ed Boon and John Tobias are like one and one when it comes to being the father of the franchise, took to Twitter and actually explained the situation because it got into some, not into an argument, but it became a Twitter feed. And then he actually just came out and was just like, look, this is the situation. So, the rumors and mysteries behind it, he states in it, in his thread, it's about 10 messages long, but I'll kind of summarize a little bit. Between MK1 and MK2, there was a big change as to how they were going to add characters in, right? Like there were some characters that didn't return in MK2, right? There was no Sonya and there was no Kano. They were actually background characters on the stage where you see Shao Kahn and such, right? And people are like, why is that? Makes it pretty clear. Oh, go on. What's your thought?
I always thought ever since me and my brothers, when we started playing MK2, apparently in the booklet, it shows that Johnny Cage was going to die in MK2, and then we were already ready for him not to be in MK3. I'm gonna have to
do some soul searching on that one to see. But the main thing that Tobias went into was selecting characters, and the way they did it was that they would go to remember arcades are still prevalent nowadays. They're getting their data from these arcade machines. Sure, there are home console ports and stuff. They could tell how much a game is selling. But when they're trying to get data like how popular a character is, they would go to arcades and actually plug in a secret code, the EBJ code, I believe that's what it was called.
That's cool.
That lets you get into the audit menu, and they would check and see who's the most popular character. It's funny enough, in this thread, someone talked about it, how they discovered it 5 years ago. It's like 10 blocks on the player 2 to player 1, player 2 to player 1, and then you do it, and then you actually get the audit menu right there in the actual game. And this was prevy in MK1 and MK2 and even MK3 when eventually that came out. And they checked, and Kano and Sonya were just the lowest used characters in the game, which is why they were like, oh, they're not popular. We don't need to include them. That's how they got their data. They would walk around. This is, I think, more towards the Chicago area, things what they stated, because they weren't like traveling nationwide for it. They were just going to Chicago. Chicago was prevalent, very big in the MK scene. It's where it was, where it was born, where it was created. They decided on Kano and Sonya in MK2. Johnny Cage, as he states, despite the rumor and nonsense, was cut because he was the least selected character in MK2. Nobody was playing Johnny Cage. And if you can look into the history, even on a competitive sense, I believe Johnny Cage wasn't that good competitively as well. So that wasn't even bolstering his numbers for that scene at the time. And then he even talks about MK3, how there was no Kitana, Melina, or Scorpion. They were already talking about adding them with Ultimate. Like Ultimate was already in the pipeline when MK3 was dropping. So they eventually added Johnny, I believe, I can't remember actually if you stated why they added Johnny, actually. They just, okay, they brought it about because they used it as an opportunity to bring back Johnny Cage, Raiden, because Raiden wasn't an MK3 either, even though he was more popular than Johnny in MK2. So it's actually a really cool thread. It breaks down even more of it, and then you can check out that video with the actual auditing menu that they're talking about, that's super secret that got discovered a couple years ago. It was really cool to see. Like I said, that's just like one piece of the iceberg. It keeps going down from there. I don't know if you guys want to make that journey, but as of right now, we're kind of still on the surface level. This was pretty common knowledge that like people were, that rumor of like, oh, he just got fired.
Has he never heard of a Twitlonger? God damn.
Probably not.
Use a Twitlonger.
It's fine.
No. Use a Twitlonger.
You gotta farm them likes, dude. You gotta farm them likes. Look, 700, 100.
He would have had like 2,000.
160, 200. He actually kind of has over 2,000 here.
Yeah.
So he's farming. Yeah, listen, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. These guys are professional trolls. I think, honestly, out of all the developers, Ed Boon is the biggest troll you could see on Twitter.
Who's bigger, him or Ono?
Definitely.
I think it leans more towards Ed Boon because secrets and MK and things are like kind of pretty prevalent. Yeah, that's a thing. He really leans hard into it to bait people.
Yeah.
Half the time, so Ono has just say some things and then just leave it open, like, oh, maybe, maybe not. Like Ed Boon will say the wrong thing just to have you thinking the wrong thing, and then be like, oh no, I was just kidding.
Well, yeah, release the MK trailer, and it's a literal like tractor trailer with MK on it,
something. Yeah, exactly. He would do that. Ono would just be like, I don't have a trailer, but it would be nice. Haha, Blanca laughs, and then yada yada. That's how I see it. So I definitely rate Ed Boon as being higher. All right. So other than that, there's not really much to talk about in MK. You know, we've had the what is it? We played UFL League Season 1 went down. MK was kind of being brought up a lot there. Now it's kind of chilling again. So we're just going to have to wait and see until this movie drops, because that's going to be the hot topic for a week or so. So look into that. Like I said, 11 days. Cannot wait. I sure as hell hope Liu Kang wins the tournament, because if it's that other original guy, I am going to be so pissed.
Just let him have his shine.
Dude, you don't want some UFC guy who's like so relatable to win? He's gonna be like, he's like human.
It's my turn. Nope. You know he's gonna hit that line. It's my turn.
Nope. He's man.
We did go over this.
So we went over this kind of speedrun style because it was very, very, yeah, it was literally fresh. Like, We're going towards the end of the show, and then this came up, so we kind of looked at a bunch of the details. So we did go over the popularity. You know, Ramathal's the new bike, and apparently that's cool. But the details is what we didn't get into, and that's what I kind of started looking into more. So you know, once they talked about like kind of things like the balancing and such, the things that they wanted to tweak on, which is what we're gonna look into here. So for Strive. The main big pieces of feedback that they got from this, there was three specific ones. One, damage being too high. I completely agree. I definitely put that on my survey. I think damage was way too high. But they go into details as to why, right? Like, if you looked at games like Accent Core Plus R, the Rev series and such, you wouldn't get damage at that level unless you knew really specific and 9 times out of 10 difficult combos, right? Yeah. Like, you're not going to crank super damage unless you knew how to RC in certain points. If you knew your RC points for like Accent Core, or you knew the most optimal damage combo from specific hits, like you weren't hitting that kind of damage. So they felt that being such an exhilarating part of the gameplay and the franchise itself, remember, this is catering towards the more casual play. They want to bring more people in. I want to emphasize this. They brought up the damage a bit because that means the combo lengths are shorter, but you still get that high damage. So you still get that same reward without having the craziest, like, you know, combo needed. Don't get me wrong. There are still pretty complex combos, or rather at least more difficult combos you can opt for. And yes, you can still definitely get more damage from. So that still caters to like the guy up there and the guy down here and the guy in the center frame here that can, you know, execute on those, but they still didn't want to shy away from letting the casuals not have to put in hours upon hours of work in order to get that same feeling, because that's an easy way to get someone to not stick around, right? So it makes sense to me. I don't know about you guys, but it makes sense.
I'm okay with it. personally, the damage is super high. Like, I'm not going to say it isn't. It's ridiculously high. If I get hit by Potemkin, I lose like half my life. Well, thrown. But even if I get hit by Soul, I lose like half my life off of like four hits.
Yeah.
My thing is, if you get hit by Potemkin, it's when you get hit by Potemkin. And then at the same time, it's sort of like, there's no true way to keep him out. Like, I couldn't practice hitting Mega Fist for my life. Like, I would try every anti-air option. I would have to burst him off me, and then I'm still kind of stuck in the corner as Mei. It's so frustrating when everything else does most damage. And there's no, like, he doesn't have to use Pot Buster to actually be good either.
Yeah. So there's some, the third piece is going to actually kind of address your situation a little bit more. But I get that. I definitely had to hit the lab as well, because in situations like Potemkin, where it's a character that doesn't have mobility, but what's the trade-off? I don't have mobility, but I get insane damage, like one pot, like two pot busters, and off anything. And that doesn't even include pot busters. Then you just sprinkle the pot buster in there as like, oh yeah, he can do that too.
But
a problem.
He still has the double fist and then the headbutt, and it's like,
well, wait, actually that one you can option select the grab. I option selected that thing. I never had a problem with that.
I know what you mean.
But I option selected the shit out of that. I was like, you come with me with that, you're gonna get forward dusted back dusted, because I'm in the corner every time. This is Giovanna, she can do that. So the second piece that they hit, which actually I honestly didn't think about until I really like read this again, was Roman cancels are interesting, but I felt limited by meter use. Stating here, you know, in previous Guilty Gear games, they've always had positive things to talk about Roman cancels. I think honestly, besides the Rev series, Roman cancels are enjoyable. I don't like Roman cancels in the Rev because the shit that they can do in that game are vastly different from what you did in, like, say, the previous entry, like Accent Core. You know, frame freeze, the weird shit, like, you can kill a charge character's charge when you use that. I don't know, you know, that's, like, hidden, forbidden tech that I don't know if some people even recognize. But other aspects of it are still good, like trajectory and, you know, your actual momentum carries with it in certain situations. It's the same with, in like, Accent Core plus R and such. But in Strive, honestly, because of the way, you know, it works, like the one method you use it is defensively, so it's your dead angle, right? You defensively Roman cancel to kind of get someone off of you. It's a pseudo burst, or really a pseudo dead angle. Sure, on incoming you can use it, but like, I don't know what it was about, like the meter. Like, I didn't catch myself using it a whole lot. Like, to be honest.
So I got to play this a lot offline with people who play Guilty. We've been playing Guilty Gear nonstop. And what's nice is we had, like, it was like training sessions. So we could kind of sit there and really pick things apart. I ultimately felt like Roman canceling was more important than using anything else. Like, Roman canceling was the basis of the game at this point. And then I guess it was like the blue Roman cancel where you could, like, you can shift. It's like a Roman cancel shift where you can like shift yourself forward or an angle
Forward or backwards. Yeah.
We were all.
And if they get caught with it, you slow them down.
Yeah. We were all doing that, but we weren't using flawless defense like ultimately every opportunity. Like, in, I'm pretty sure if you remember in Accent Core, you're using flawless defense a lot more, you know, but you're getting meter primarily at a good pace. In this game, you're getting a lot of meter, but you're not using flawless defense. You're actually opting to just block a bad situation that they're just going to be negative on later on. Maybe you might, for Kai, you know, after two swings, FD one time, and then his next move whiffs. So it's like, flawless defense is kind of trash, not going to lie. And it's, I don't want to say it's the limiting by the meter use. I mean, well, yeah, it's being able to use the meter for anything else other than Roman cancel. I think it's pretty bad. I think outside of that.
I think that there wasn't enough of time in a tutorial to show all of the Roman cancels. They've shown us a video before, you know, online, but to anyone who's new to the beta or even, you know, picking it up, there were so many different ways to use Roman cancels that were more,
history,
I think, actually more beneficial than using actual meter or overdrives, such as like the movement option. There was like the blue Roman cancel where you could move forward or back, or there were some cheap stuff that people were complaining about.
There was a defensive one, there was purple, there was red. The defensive one is basically, there is no dead angle in this game. The defensive one literally is dead angle.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is that meter is very important, and like you really don't gain, like that's when other aspects of the game kind of come into play, like the wall break, right? When you break the wall and you have that meter buff, your character is a super character, like straight up. It just is a much better character than it was before. But for some characters, like a super might be more beneficial than trying to Roman cancel. But Roman cancel, I believe, was, I know it's been a little bit now, but I don't know if it was it's still the 25% or if it was the 50% to do it. So it kind of was like a hell, that was a lot to invest on a single Roman cancel, which is what they're talking about here. So they're looking, they're considering the general rules around meter gain. So they're not just like increasing the gain rate, but we should be able to use our meter more freely overall. So if, they are making some tweaks to it to kind of make Roman canceling like much more of a common tool.
I think if they're going to make Roman canceling cheaper to be used, make it harder to use. Sort of like what Blue Roman Cancel was. It's, yep. It's literally like, one, two, or three frames to use, and it's only 25%.
FRC, yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm fine with
FRC,
that.
FRC, the blue, for those that don't know, an accent core, like if you Roman cancel in specific points, it could be 1 to 2 frames or however many in a specific move, you actually get it for 25% versus a red Roman cancel, which is like, you know, vanilla at any point, but you're paying 50. So it's like, it's another way, another layer that the game is rewarding execution, which could be another deciding factor for, you know, the casual versus the vets, right? Which I kind of like more and more the more I think about it, because it doesn't stop the casual from like, yeah, I could just Roman cancel wherever. And you're right, you can. And so could the veteran player if they wanted to.
And
but if
yellow
the vet and
the
a more experienced player wants to do it, oh yeah, and yellow in the other one. Mm-hmm. Yep.
My bad, you were saying.
No, I was going to say, yell on the other one, go on. Well, all right, well, let me finish my thought.
Yeah.
Is that the vet could still opt to put in the work, and that work be rewarded by having to use less meter. Mm-hmm. The more I think about it, the more I kind of like the idea of FRCs being in this game, to be honest.
I well, Gabe, did you want to go? Because I know you were saying...
That was my only idea. I was just saying, Strive has... Exert has the yellow one, which is super easy to use. But go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I personally, this is from a Ramlethal standpoint, because I think that'll make more sense. I think characters who play like Ramlethal, who can kind of control the pace of the game right off the bat, they're kind of the characters who are rewarded for moving forward compared to characters who can't do that. Like, I mean, if I'm playing maybe Potemkin, him building meter right off the bat is not a thing. He has to commit to something.
He doesn't fucking need meter. Like, I'm surprised if I see a Potemkin super, let alone an RC from one.
Look at something like Faust. Faust definitely needs meter to be useful.
Yeah.
So like I can see Faust, that. A Nagaruki or whatever.
Kind of.
He needs space.
He kind of does, but I don't know. But from what I've noticed, at least Giovanna, she needs the meter. That's what makes her a lot more effective.
Giovanna's like a two double-edged sword there, because the more meter she has, the more damage she does naturally, right? So what are you going to take? Are you going to keep the meter so she becomes at that weird state where she gets a 5%, 10% bonus versus using it? But at the same time, to unlock her potential, yeah, I think she's definitely a character that requires it, actually, the more I think about it.
I just think they struggle.
But yeah, So meter use is going to get tweaked up. And then this is the third one, which kind of alludes more towards Static G's problem. Jumping is too strong. I know you didn't say jumping specifically, but it's kind of still in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
Mega Fisto. Hey, round one, start. Mega Fisto counter. All right. Well, all right. Next round. Let's go.
Sheesh. That's great.
So many characters felt that felt that the neutral game was lacking due to grounded anti-airs being too weak, while aerial options were too strong, making jumping a common choice. Yeah, absolutely. We've also determined that this needed improvement and made significant changes. Just maybe outlining that right there. I can't explain each individual change here, but this one will be one that's very noticeable and different from the open beta test. So yeah, jumping in was fucking free. Like, to be honest, it was really easy to jump in and kind of make your approach that way, because anti-airs outside of DPs, because the DPs were good. Like, even if you blocked a DP, you're still like, the person who did the DP is safe because they get so much pushback, like you wouldn't get punished for it. But you know, those that didn't have it or had really shitty anti-airs, which were pretty common, it was just free. Like Static G said, getting mega fisted and not being an anti-air. I went into the training room. It is very specific to do it. And can it be done? Yes. Now, do that in a game, like an actual match, is like good luck.
It's
like,
unblocked.
Like, it's you heard mega fist, and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm gonna I'm like, let me DP, and I'm gonna pray to see what happens. Oh no, I just ate that. All right, well, right. GGs. Oh, he RC'd? Oh yeah, I'm dead.
Mega fake out. Like, you got to do it before it's even active, which is like the entire move.
Yeah, you have
move.
To be like, he's gonna do it now? No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's active very, very. Well, I don't want to say it's active very early, because some of the tricks that I've learned. Once again, this is just me. This is my experience. On jumping and dusting, almost like an option select, similar to like the Magneto option select in Marvel, where you're like dashing with H and HS or something, so you get an option select of of H, so you could get a grab like on the first frame if someone's there. I was doing something not similar, but like the same mindset, because it doesn't start right away, but once it is just a giant hitbox. Like, you anti-airs are just getting blown up. Like, maybe if you had a really good 6P, you'd be fine, but even then, your 6P won't be as active as that is. So you have to like get it just right. So that was just one concept. Like, on like others, like outside of a safe jump setup, like, yeah, it was still free to get in. Like, Milia could get in for days, and when it's a character like Milia, that her whole game plan does revolve from coming in, because she has higher mobility than anyone else in the game. Double dash, you know, mix up high lows. Like, she's gonna come in from the air on top of things like picking her dagger that doesn't exist anymore, actually, in this one. Is she still playing the same game? That's how good jump-ins were.
I personally feel it's good. The only way they can fix it, which I know it's the only option they're going to have from what I can see right now, is adding more startup to jump frames, which is kind of weird, but it would stop a lot of the constant jumping, and because their game is meant to be a neutral grounded game, and we always knew that. Going into this one, we were like, oh, this feels really grounded. But then, a Ramlethal player, I'm just jumping. Why? Because there's no real negative to it. You doing 6P from afar, good luck, you know, canceling that, Roman canceling that into something good. But if you don't have meter, I don't care. I'll throw it out all day, and then I'll make you guess from me just doing like, oh, did I air dash in and out air dash back? Roman cancel, blue Roman cancel. Like, there's so many things, man. Shift cancel. It's just jumping.
It was free. It was free. There was just no bad decision in doing that. It's like, we're in neutral. You're here. Do I have a good jump in? Yes. Go to that. And it was free. Like, there's really not much more to say. But they're saying they're adjusting it. I'm along everyone else that's played the game is very interested in seeing as to what
they need to nerf adjusting it to.
Okay.
Bro, have you seen what he does?
The game's not even out yet. The game is not even out yet. Let's not.
Did you not fight Soul during the beta?
I did. Bro, I had no problem. He does. That's why I'm telling you.
Yeah, you fought some bad ones, because all he does is one button and he's +3. Then the other button's
been Unga Bunga.
+2.
You just got an Ununga Bunga. That's all.
All right. So we'll get into the last piece, and that is getting rid of infinites. So due to, obviously, the overall simple structure of the combo system, or really the system in general, some characters had access to infinite combos. They plan on dealing with this by adjusting the game mechanics in addition to the character balance. Remember, there is going to be some tweakage to the characters. They did say it was in the ballpark, but there's definitely going to be some changes. So they're going to end up that these combos don't end up as the most viable option. So if you reread that, they're not actually getting rid of infinites. What they're doing is adjusting the game mechanics to do something specific when it comes to those infinites. And they actually give you an example. Hitting an opponent with the same move over and over again more than a certain set of time will make them float less. So, you know, you can't, they're getting rid of infinites in the sense of you're only going to get a rep or two in before it becomes impossible. Like, in theory, could you continue it? Yes, but the adjustment of making the weight go much lower so you can't continue it is similar to something like MKX and MK11, or you know, a couple of the NRS games where floating becomes a variable after a time to help prevent from an actual combo from being an infinite. They state they don't want to get completely get rid of all loop combos, so they chose to increase the ways we can balance the game.
I only have one.
So Giovanna thought. Boys, well, be happy. We got those. Zotto. We got those still. Also Zotto.
I mostly only have one problem with this because they're saying this, but then you got to think about there are characters that have combos that are sort of like loops that do scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is fine. Yeah. But now people are going to fall faster. You got to think there are characters who are considered bigger characters who certain combos don't work on at all. And there is no other route. Now it's going to be harsher. Yeah. So I'm thinking, is that okay? Well, I mean, I had trouble comboing Potemkin, period.
Yeah, yeah. Big characters are always going to be funky. Yeah, weights are always going to be weird. Yeah. That's just known for the game. But I mean, I like the idea because there's definitely combos that are not normal, but they're pretty standard in some characters. As if you look at characters from Accent Plus R and such, and Rev series, there are characters that do have pseudo loops that, in theory, could you infinite them? Yes, but is it the most viable option? That's the biggest thing. That's what I thought was interesting. It will never be the most viable option. It's there, but really, do you really want to put yourself through it? If say you're only getting one hit of damage, like per hit, and you're only doing a 3 or 4 hit combo to loop, are you really gonna do that for 10, 20, 30 times? Marvel Dante players, don't answer that. That's rhetorical for you guys, especially if you do an infinite. But that's what I mean. They're going the approach of they don't want to get rid of it, but they just don't want it to be viable, which in the same sense is kind of like getting rid of it, but it's really getting rid of the impatient players that don't want to do that, or the players that want to really just get the damage in. Because even if I do have those Giovanna loops when the game drops and I see they scale heavily, not like they were a really big part of her gameplay, but the fact that she has them. Two loops, I got my damage. Cool. Set up. Set play them as best as possible. Versus I could loop you all day, but it's going to take me an hour to get this match. And the TOs are going to get mad at me for doing this. So I'm probably not going to do it. And my hint, I'll probably have arthritis by the end of the loop.
At that point, go for a reset they did in Marvel 2.
Exactly. Exactly. It is no different from that idea of you could. Yeah, there's plenty of infinites in Marvel 2. But the scaling is disgustingly bad. You're not going to do it all day. And if you are, you're gonna max out the combo meter, the combo counter before the person dies. You really want to do that? Nobody's actually gonna do it. Could you do it? Yes, it's available to you to do it. Freestyle, do your thing and express yourself, but is it really worth your time? It's up to you. So I like that approach. I don't think it's gonna be that big of a problem. We did talk that there is gonna be a second beta. Waiting to hear about that. That's gonna be super, super awesome. But in the meantime, I don't want to also, I want to make sure to bring attention to this. They are taking in topics and submissions for future developer backyards. I implore you, if you have done feedback, go to part 5, go down there, click on the business form mailer link. It'll bring you to a really cool, very simple, all you need is a nickname and a message and agreeing that, it could be addressed live. So basically, your name will show up if they pick it. I did mine already. And I implore you guys to do it. Ask them about crossplay. That is, I think, the only thing that is missing right now from this game being probably the best it could possibly be is crossplay between PC and console. I know they're already going to have crossplay between gen. That's generation crossplay, PlayStation 4 to 5. That's fine. That's already implemented. But let's talk about crossplay from PC to console. They already went rollback, and look how good we set them up for success. You added rollback to your game, and this beta had everybody hooked on your game. I don't know how much more correct could we be. Crossplay is right next to it. But this is the versus.
I know mode. Network yeah, mode that's the online lobby. Lobby. Yeah.
The lobby. Online lobby was garbage. They know this. Look at that. Yeah. Over 60%. we're on this. Yeah. Or 50-something percent. Yeah. But
it's because you guys, we don't have it last week,
Yeah, right.
I personally feel they should just not do another beta. That's a waste of time.
No, they need to. They need. No, you think they do? Hell no.
It is needed.
You think they really need to do another beta?
Absolutely.
Is this because you want to play it? Or?
It avoids us having to get patched. Yeah.
Let's make that number one because I want to play it. Two, because they delayed the game. You need to build hype up for the game. General marketing is very much an easy way to do it. Sure, get it on Steam, get your commercials up on Twitch, buy some space on YouTube, Twitter, do your thing. get a beta out so people are fucking playing it so you can get more people exposed to it. B, also, you know, it's going to be closer to that gold product. So if you're they're making any tweaks, we get this a chance to use it there and have them do any last minute tweakage before the game comes out will be very beneficial to all parties included. And did I already mention I want to play? Yeah, because I want to fucking play the game.
Let me ask you this. Yes. Should they release all the rest of the characters then?
That I don't know. Because there's already been like a not a weird situation, because it technically doesn't matter anymore. It used to be like if you pre-ordered the game and you were playing it 3 days before, you weren't still going to get Anji or Ino or anything past the chapter one of the story because they didn't want people getting spoiled on the story. That changed, I think, a month ago, or I know we reported on it, where now you get to play everyone. So if that's the case now that everyone's being played, they might go that route with the second beta and be like, well, here are the two characters anyway, so you guys can play them. I think they should. I think, honestly, they should,
that's
because
the only way
I think
can
the
beta making sense.
Yeah, because the first beta definitely set the expectations for them as to how people felt about the Potemkins, the new characters, and the current characters that they made massive changes to, like Ramlethal, who now ends up being everyone's popular choice, right? I think that's all great data for them. So I think it's just very beneficial for this beta for sure on multitude of levels, especially if they're going to give us any of those jump in tweaks that they're talking about. If it's going to be a second iteration of the lobby, which it has to be, duh, because the game's coming out like within the month. I want to say I'm speculating that it's going to happen next month. To make sure their online platform is going to be good or better than it was before. They need to build the hype back to the game. We were so hyped for this game that we would have been playing 3 days ago. I would have had a beer down to here. I would have just like not done anything else along the hundreds of thousands of people that also would have been like that. This is all we would be talking about. This podcast might have been canceled today if Guilty Gear would have came out 3 days ago. They need to do the same deal again, but if it's better, it's only going to reignite that fire everyone had for it. There's some people that they haven't technically forgotten about it, but like it's died down. And if the hype has died down, their sales are gonna die down. They need to do the beta for their own good and to quality test the shit they're gonna want to deploy in a month afterwards. Like abso-fucking-lutely, this beta needs to happen.
Man, this
and
is
also
like,
because I want to play. Did I say I wanted to play? Because I want to fucking play the game.
What's crazy is like I'm usually in that position saying everything that you're saying. This time I was curious. I was curious to see if anybody else thought the same.
Absolutely.
I think a little bit differently. Like, I'm thinking, could they do a more promotional, send something out, you know, hey, here's like, you know, I don't know, extra content, blah, blah, blah. You know, all the extra BS that most, developers
will
do.
You know what's extra content? You know what extra content? Doing a beta. There you go. But yeah, guys, we got kind of like the majority of the developer backyard. If you want to check out the details, just go and Google it real quick. Guilty Gear Developer Backyard Part 5. Make sure to go hit that form. Tell these fools you want crossplay. Telling you. It's like the one thing this freaking this game is missing. It's just crossplay. For real, for real. All right, so we play UFL, the Ultimate Fighting League that has been going on for 3 weeks now. With three different games, $50,000 a pop. You had your MK11, you had your Soul Calibur 6, and now we have our Tekken 7 that just wrapped up. Arsalan Ash actually ended up taking it. I don't know what he played at the end, but because I didn't get a chance to watch the grand finals. It was okay.
He was playing a lot of Zafania,
because he did play some Lydia early on, and I was like super stoked to see that. And it was awesome to watch. I don't know if she was carrying her all the way to the end, but he took the crown for this one. Overall, and that actually concludes the season one for this. They will be having multiple seasons moving forward. Not sure as to if they're going to change the games up or if they're going to consistently stay within these three. I think it's a good space for them. But overall, I think the production was incredible. The event was really good. And Tekken 7 was hype. Got to see things like double KOs. It's like slow freeze frame double KOs between cats like JDCR and Saint, which was freaking amazing. Yeah. Incredible matches. I still got to catch up on it, but congrats to Arsalan Ash for winning this one.
This man is unstoppable, man, since Evo.
He's actually a monster. Work and the entire, his whole scene definitely on his back. And actually, while we're on it too.
Six Sense is also part of that scene, I believe. One of our listeners.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sorry.
So one thing I want to bring up.
There you go.
Six Sense. We didn't get a chance to do this last week. Because it just happened. But Woz was also the winner for Soul Calibur 6, who is a PA native. I don't know if he's Philly specifically. He's a PA native. But I'm not sure if he's from Philly 100%. But yeah, took the Soul Calibur 6 champs. I got to watch it. The man was dominating. If you hadn't had a chance to check it out, I know that's technically a spoiler for you guys, but you can go check out the VODs. They have them all live. I know it's old news, but you know, some people might just not know. Yeah, it was Tekken. Right. It was like, yo, Soul Calibur had his time. Now it's Tekken. But regardless, still incredible production overall from everyone over at We Play Esports and for the UFL. This is season one. They're going to have more coming down the line. I'm just wondering if they'll do some really dope shit, like maybe do Strive or something, right? That'd be kind of sick.
I got to say this. I really, really enjoyed a lot of their content, but we were watching that Tekken, like the openings and stuff. Man, I'm going to be honest. Not everybody needs to be punching that bag, all right? Not everybody.
Yeah, you could tell who was really a fighter and who's not.
Yeah, like, or at least like, the amount of times
I saw a fist that was like this and just like not even twisting, putting their hip into it. I was kind of like, you've never been in a fight. Yeah, got it.
I just would have loved to see maybe a little bit more backstory on these people. Like, they had time to maybe fly out, just get a little bit backstory on some of the players. That would have been more interesting than watching them punch a punching bag. I mean, I still think it's cool to have in there. Maybe throw some other things in there, too. Have them working out in the gym. Look, I'm not saying that's what everybody does, but, you know, show that element. Maybe, you know, a little bit more integrated instead of just saying, hey, punch this bag. Because some of those behind the scenes are terrible.
Well, notes for them. Make
that's
sure to
good.
Give them a
hit
heads
the
up
bag.
Next time we get a chance.
Yeah, just like that. Punch and kick that bag. I was like, oh, hell no. You ain't going to tell me what to do.
All right. So for those that aren't aware, haven't looked at your feeds lately or anything like that, the spring update did go live last week on the 6th. This was literally the day after. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to cover it live or anything like that, but we got to see what Street Fighter has in store for several characters. We got to see more of a breakdown on Rose. I got to see some more gameplay for her, but one of the big titles or big pieces here was Oro. You know, this is now two games he's in, setting the personal records right there. And he's basically plucked out of Street Fighter 3. This is just straight up a third strike character. Just added a turtle to it. I mean, how are we feeling about Oro?
I don't know. I feel like he's going to have his good things. Like, not that he's generic, but it's just like, all right, he's a new character. How do you make I always think about this when you're making a new character. Meza, you might speak to this more since you've, you know, a little bit more development side. How do you guys make a character and try not to make them broken, but also try to make them viable and fun? He looks fun, but it's just
that's
like,
always the question.
Right, double jump. Okay, that'll be cheap. That's good. The chicken stomps.
Anti-airing him is
going to
get tricky now.
The fireball is good too. The V skill fireball is even better. Are the rocks cheap?
Are they
not cheap? Like the new move is
the kicks.
Looks
jeez.
Sick. You know,
like if his whole job is to set up his fireball game, that kick is about to be the biggest piece to it. Like sends you the fact that it sends you full screen. Like I didn't realize like how important that was until I was talking to MJ about it. He was like, yo, that kick? And I'm like, yo, why is he tripping out about the kick? I'm like, it's the low version only does one.
What
medium
is it
and heavy does two. But he goes, no, it's not even so much bad. But it's just like the fact that look at the amount of distance you get from landing that.
Yep,
and then all of a sudden you could just cancel that to the V-scale fireball afterwards. And now he has a non-committal approach that he could just go in on. And especially considering he has a weird double jump. Imagine like kick to fireball to double jump left, right. Oh, did you guess wrong? You just lost.
Yep.
Like I already can theory craft that. That's like going to be a big component to it. If it's viable, once again, like if it's not good to like, if you can't really confirm into it, then that's like a little bit of a problem. If you can't use any of his normals to buffer into that kick, it'll be an issue. But the fireball looks pretty strong. It's a long, long startup. But once again, you got to look at the character as the whole kick, the whole kit. Yeah. And it is multiple hits.
I think it's three hits or four. I think it's three.
It looked like three.
So, Gabe, to answer your question in my most honest way of answering it, we purposely kind of let the character be broken so that we can nerf it. It's easier to always retract than to give. So you give the character as much as possible. You try to keep it. I'm being honest. This is the truth. When we made Petra for Rumble Pack, she was Morgan on crack with Magneto connected. That's not normal. You don't do things like that. That's like forbidden techniques that shouldn't be released to the world. But we did it. And people said this character is really strong. So we toned her back. It's harder to give a character more animations, more moves. It's harder to just add and not make them less enjoyable, considering you already have stuff for them that people are going to enjoy. Like, there's aspects of Oral that people are going to enjoy, from the booger to the kick to having rocks to being able to have a lot of his kit from Third Strike. So you don't take those things away that make him a really fun and enjoyable character to some. But the new things, you have to let them kind of somewhat be broken. Like, maybe the damage isn't as high, but the utility is insane. You want that so that people can say, hey, this character is fun to play, super strong, but too strong. Like Seth. Seth was really strong coming into the game. Akuma, insanely strong.
Still strong.
Yeah, exactly. They just pulled him back a notch or two. They never really add, if you ever notice. That's always a thing. People used to always say, if you have the most balanced game, that is the worst game. If you have the most imbalanced game, that is the most enjoyable, because things are lopsided. It's the challenge of beating the best and also playing as the best.
Okay. Interesting developer take on it.
Even if a character has good buttons like Kid Buu, he still ends up being amazing no matter how much you nerf him. Anyway, let's go to Rose.
Some characters are like that. Speaking of amazing, Rose.
Favorite character in the game. She's busted.
Okay, so Rose looks great, but I'm still on I'm actually on Static's camp here, that her cloth still feels, doesn't feel like a real ShamWow. It feels like a paper towel.
Paper, yeah.
Really, it doesn't give me the form of cloth. I don't know what it is, but like ever since he stated it, like it
reminds me of
skinny, like,
what's Hashenko's paper friend? That's what it looks like. You know what I'm talking about?
It doesn't have any volume to it. That's really what it
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
No volume.
Doesn't feel correct.
It looks great.
But everything else past that looks great. Yeah.
Just not when she uses
it. Emotion,
Soul Spiral
kind of throws you off.
Awkward.
Yeah.
All right. Other than that, I think the dynamic of it, the damage aspect, the chip damage of the tarot cards off the V-skill, it's a pretty good idea.
Like, that green card could save your life. Like, green card drops the damage of your opponent. The purple death card increases the amount of chip damage and gray damage inflicted. So, you'll see the actual examples that, like, yeah, she can put you in very weird situations. But her cards are random. Like, you do not control it. It's just whatever is up next. You get to see what it is.
It's Harley Quinn all over again.
Fortune Shuffle.
Or Injustice One.
Yeah. Harley Faust type idea. Yeah. Wonder Woman? Really?
Wonder Woman
you could.
Random buffs.
You control.
Injustice One. Was it Injustice One or Injustice?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you're right.
Injustice
one,
Two.
One. You're right.
One, it'd be her shield, her arms.
Her lasso.
Her that was so random.
Arms, yeah.
That was random as hell.
So she has something similar. So it's really all about adapting to the situation and knowing your routes afterwards, which is cool. But then you can always change. It's not like you have to be stuck on it, but, like, you know, that's your prerogative as to what you're going to take in that situation. Then she's got, of course, her V-trigger, which allows her to teleport, which is kind of, like, gnarly. She's got different teleports. She's got back. She's got behind the opponent. Then she has the one that's above, which 9 times out of 10 is what you're going to probably want. I don't see any other reason. Like, you know, once you have V-Trigger, you have the Street Fighter 4 mix-up, kind of, where she could have Soul Satellites running, and then you teleport, and bam, like, did they touch a button? Did they press a button? You get a free approach, a free in. Even with regular Fireball, yeah, there's definitely some left-right situations there, because you can fake out a teleport. You could set up some pseudo,
she literally,
from the air.
The beautiful part is she actually doesn't have to wait for the Fireball to be out, like, to go out. As soon as she throws the Fireball, she can instantly teleport. So it's almost like a full string in its own. I personally like this because I'm a Rose player. I played Rose since Street Fighter 4. Since she came out, it wasn't because of Luffy or anything like that. I just like the character a lot. And I even play her in Alpha 2 and many other games that I probably shouldn't play her in. But ultimately, I think this is probably it's so hard to say because I really love Street Fighter 4's Rose. this might be her best iteration next to Alpha 2. Alpha 2, she was really fun, really strong. Had a lot of the same systems. But I don't know. She's a little interesting. She's just different to some extent, and she doesn't play fully like herself. So I'm excited, but I do like the teleport. I do wish I had that V-ism, the A groove, however you guys want to call it. I really love that. But it's just how much damage am I really getting from that versus maybe the teleport. So either way, she's flexible in every matchup. And I just off of watching this, I think she's going to probably hands down be one of the stronger characters out of this season coming.
Yeah, I hope she is super fragile. She better be glass.
Yeah.
Man, by the way, her output, her exit.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
Her outro animation.
The Karen, the Viper's in there too.
It's a random tarot card each time, which is really, really cool. She looks like her utility is just through the roof. As expected, she has a very unique kit, to be honest. Like the teleporting, the V/A groove type of feel from like Alpha days. Then she has Soul Satellite. So I think she might have the most flexibility in terms of like combinations of V skills and V triggers.
Creativity.
Yeah, like you could. Exactly. You have like a lot of different ways to express yourself with these two very unique triggers. Like they're not like remotely similar as to the play styles. Like one is literally about oppression and the other one, though technically could be used in an oppressive matter, it could be used to help zone and control the field out more. By the way, the costume's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like,
I love all of them so far. There.
Just, it doesn't look like she's a snowball character either, I'll be honest. Like, you know how, let's say, Poison's V-Trigger is, like, super strong still, even after the nerfs. And by the way, Mezzo, when you said that, oh, yeah, you know, they don't let a character be too strong for too long. I mean, Seth was out there for almost a year being crazy. I'm just saying that.
I don't disagree with that, but think about it. Even when Yun came out, right, it took one more season before, which was their final season, before they nerfed him. So this is the last season of Street Fighter V, they're saying, right?
Sorry. Yeah.
I know.
Right. Twice.
This is the last season of Street Fighter V. So ultimately, they always do this. Street Fighter IV, the last season, they made everybody really strong. They made a lot of characters really strong, go under the radar. Nasty. And they also had the Omega mode. So think about that. So
yeah,
Dre's
showing us is a fireball it's into bullshit. Teleport from Rose.
I don't know. I think that's perfectly fine.
At 18 minutes, the bro, I got hit because I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna block left." Psych! Bro, it was the right. And even on the block, guess again. Oh, grab! You didn't see that. And she has buttons that will help blow up the grabs for sure. Oh my god,
that's okay. She's the character I've been waiting for. This is why I don't play Street Fighter. I'm literally gonna buy only her because this is the only character only I want to play. Like. I keep getting told, are you going to play it? Are you going to play it? I'm like, only if she's good. And she looks good. All right.
Well, hey, man, Mezza knows his priorities.
Make sure whenever you lose,
even though she looks definitely not playing Street Fighter V.
So make sure whenever you lose in ranked that you hit begin training with these characters.
Straight
so that so that you can learn the characters that you lose to because you never bought them.
That's like every character, including the normal characters. And I just like, honestly, I run my own game plan with Rose. It doesn't matter. You just have to abide by what I do. And that, I think that's what she's going to do.
In theory, we'll see. We'll see what happens when she drops. So on to the real piece that we're all here that we actually care about. Because those characters, like, whatever, me. Yo, we've got some rival schools in my Street Fighter. Or no, you don't have Street Fighter. My Rival Schools is definitely the other way. We got to finally get to see some Akira gameplay. Not expecting this, to be honest. I was expecting it to be kind of the Oro situation where they showed her at the end, and then we'll see another update with her. But no, they were like, no. We got you guys. We know have what
something
you want.
Ready.
We have it's cool. Something
I have one problem
ready.
With it. What's you know, up? I'm always gonna have a problem when they do some stupid shit like that, where. They recycle,
looks like a V-trigger, dog.
Recycle moves, man. But that's the only thing that made it up where it was that she could do air combos just like in Project Justice and all the other games. Rival Schools.
What are they recycling?
So, where she does V-trigger and she does the kicks, that's the whatchamacallit, what's the new chick, the blonde hair chick that's considered Spanish, but she looks white as hell?
Lucia?
Lucia?
Yeah, Lucia. It's the same kicks. Not that.
Where are we seeing?
Just wait for it. I'll show it to you right here. Same thing.
First of all.
Well, are you going to say because Lucia goes one, two,
many
three?
Many of all.
Instead of
no,
one.
No, because we don't know what the hell this is. Like, we don't know what this does. Lucia is a running stance character. Like, she can only do those kicks then.
I'm saying,
the other kicks that you're referring to are just her V-skill.
I'm just saying I don't like recycled moves for a brand new character. Brand new.
Technically, this isn't brand new. They're literally porting over just what she did in Rival Schools. If you actually want to talk about recycling anything, you should be looking at her and why her and a lot of Yun's moves tend to be there. Because if you look, she actually mm-hmm. has the shoulder. She has the punch. She has the palms there because her martial arts is based in a Chinese-based martial arts. She has a mix of that. So you're going to see a lot of those same principles there.
Just in case you were wondering.
Because things like their elbow, which we saw there, which looks incredible. It's actually that ridiculous in that one right there. That elbow at 2207 that she just moves 30 feet forward. That's just a regular normal in Project Justice. And it's so broken there. But it's awesome. Yeah, so we finally got to see her play. We got to see some V-trigger action. And of course, one of the big pieces that they were referring to. Like she's going to have a specific rival school type of mechanic. I'm guessing it's this specifically, the actual multiple air combo juggles. I know it's not hard of a guess considering no one else in this game can do it to this degree at all, is what she can do. But it looks like that's possibly only a V-trigger instance, that she can only do this during V-trigger, which makes sense because if this was like her regular combos, this would get boring, or not boring, but it would get repetitive very quick.
Remember how I said there's certain things that they're going to add to the game that people like from whatever else? This is going to be one of those things that's going to possibly become a broken thing that they're going to have to find a way to nerf later. And it's just the truth. That's just how it works, right? Yeah. It's one of those things that they produced and they don't have an actual... They don't know how it's going to work out, right? Nobody expected Dan to have an infinite. They put in something that they thought was cool. A stance that, he taunts, but it hits somebody. And now it's a part of an infinite. This is the same thing with this. They don't know how it's going to work out. They want the players to really explore and see if it can be broken so we can kind of look at it from
absolutely.
How can we nerf it? Or do we keep it?
So I know they should just keep it because, it's at the end of, honestly, we're kind of like at the end of Street Fighter V. This is really the last hurrah for the game. So might as well let it rock, maybe, because Street Fighter VI will be around the corner eventually. Yep. So we got treated to a little tidbit at the end. We don't know what her super is as of yet, but we actually got to see what is potentially what I'm assuming is going to be her other V-Trigger 2 activation, because for one, she does do her activation of V-Trigger. That whole white explosion is kind of the big signal that I V-Triggered. Frame freeze as well is there, but then they added the extra team tag graphics straight out of Rival Schools. This is what shows up when you actually try to team tag Crash Attack or whatever it's called. And then we had her brother bust in all Shin Akuma-like or regular Akuma-like CVS2 style, kills Bison in the intro, Daigo, the man of men, which is actually his title in the game. And then he just poses and blows you up. Don't know a lot about how this activates, if it works on both hit and block, because she, if you look closely, she is in a very particular animation during this whole time. This is not her idle animation.
It's like she's waiting, fucking charge.
Yeah, and then she actually says goodbye and everything to him. So it's like, then we're back to idle animation. But we were already talking about, Daigo's definitely in the game. We even brought the leaks up a long time ago that were posted up and showed very early developments of Daigo when they were modeling him, including her as well. Fun fact, she's 5'3", so that means Daigo is only about like 5'8", but the dude looks like he's over 6 foot. Don't get it. The heights keep messing me up. Way smaller than he used to be.
Jumped out of there.
Dashes out like a superhero. Yeah, straight Superman over here. Like, my people need me. I got to go to... Excuse me, sis. I got detention to go to. Later. Anyway. So we got to see that. Hopefully she's going to come out a little earlier. I think they both said for winter, or I think it was supposed to be summer for Rose and for her. Or maybe she might be fall. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. In Discord or any tweets, that's just off the top of my head.
Right.
But yep. Overall, I'm pretty stoked as to how she looks, her implementation. Yo. I like how Rose looks. I'm digging Oro. I think
Rose is the 17th update. This week, I believe, right?
No. Rose is the 17th. Yeah. Yeah.
17th or the 19th.
No.
Can I be honest?
April 19th.
How tall did you say Daigo was?
I was always going up.
She's 5'3", yes.
And looking. She's 5'3", but like where she is compared to him when he walks by her, she's like barely at his shoulders or almost at his shoulders. That means he's got to be like 5'8 or something.
No, he's 6'6 technically.
6'6 in rival schools does not look 6'6 in this game. If that is 6'6,
I'm like, he should be Sagat height. At least
then,
right?
The lady from Resident Evil 9 is got to be like Godzilla levels of height here.
Dimitrescu.
Lady D is what I will be calling her. That's crazy. I know he's supposed to be 6'6, but you tell me with a straight face and tell me that.
He doesn't look 6'6.
That like
there's remember, nothing. That's why I got confused.
5'3", she's at the shoulders. You're telling me this is 6'6 right here? Crazy. And this is 6'6 with his hair? Because his hair is an extra like 6 inches, so maybe up here.
I don't know, right? Bro. Yeah. I mean,
but this is 5'3". 6'6? Question mark? Not sure.
Yeah, they're all in high school, so
yeah. I'm gonna tell you right now, this dude's got some big ass shoes though.
Yeah.
I
thought real Daigo was actually taller than what he is. So there's that.
What's Daigo's height?
I don't know, but he's shorter than me.
Damn. That's how I felt. Really?
JDCR. I thought so.
Dude, you remember seeing JDCR, Dre? JDCR is short as hell.
Yeah.
JDCR the worst is what I thought.
Me. He's like 5'4".
I thought James Chen was short, and he ended up being actually really tall. So that's the weird part. Yeah.
There you go. Shatter all your expectations, people. I learned that from SNK. You
might as well just put real people in the game now.
So with that, we just have a couple of things we're going to get into for the randoms of the FGC real quick, guys, and then we'll jump into our community question. So off the rip, let me see what we got here. Oh, yeah, the Eddie input thing. This is something I'm just going to do a quick glance at because it's something very, very new, and I just wanted to get a chance to at least give you guys a heads up as to what it is. Because I've been a big fan as to some of these tools that have come out, especially in the Guilty Gear like area, like Axie Core Plus R got that really, really, really incredible replay tool that came off the beta. Now is live, where you can literally just replay sections or specific moments in a match and replay it over and over again, and then change the inputs of that replay of that situation you got put into. So say you get hit with some almost unblockable from a Zato player or something, and then you press the button, like you press like 2D or something or 2S, and okay, maybe if I DP'd there, what's the situation? You can hit replay and just do that. Well, we have something like that right now. So Eddie input is a tool that has been made by, let me just make sure I get the names correct here. Well, on YouTube, we definitely covered this man's use before, but Novro Tataki, and it was created alongside Nergorin on Twitter. They released the video last week where now this is something you can apply to any game and share that tech with anyone. They could just load it up. You know, the days of like, oh yeah, this is how you do it. Maybe you have your homie, you have to parsec in or can only be in training mode or something like that. Now it's an actual file that you can take. As far as my understanding, remember this I haven't had a chance to actually like really look into all the details of it, but it's something that's in open beta right now that you can get your hands on. This is for PC specifically, where you can do things like even help yourself with things like the FRCs that we were discussing earlier that are just one frame, two frames. You can put audio signals for it, so that way you can learn, and it's just a matter of, you know, another training tool that could help fix this issue or give you the you know, more tools or more capabilities to actually get better. Pretty sick, and it's an open beta. You guys can go check it out. There's definitely some things that can get improved on it from what I'm already seeing, but any tool that we can get that to help, you know, you elevate your gameplay in any way, shape, or form is always, always welcomed. And like I said, it's an open beta right now. You can check out not only the trailer that they put out, but there's a GitHub that has the documentation for it, and you can get it right now. I'm going to be messing with it. I'll get more feedback and more of an actual impression by next week, but this came across my desk, and I was like, yes, we'll sit down. I'm going to try this out because I think it's amazing.
I'm going to try it too, but I also recall there was a game that somebody did this for. I just don't remember what implemented this, and then it just never showed up again. I don't know if it was like Skullgirls or if it was like them fighting herds. Something specifically had something like this, but I don't know if it was this complicated, but it was something close to it. Just from what I'm trying to think about what it was, but God.
But yeah, no, that's really it. Like, if you want to go get a chance to check it out, it's an open beta. So they'll be taking all kinds of, feedback from you guys. And like I said, this works for any game on PC. So really there's no limit to it, which is really, really awesome. One tidbit here. So Golden Guardians, the esports organization that is, I believe they are right under the Golden State Warriors, made a kind of parody direct. Recently where they signed on some new Smash players. Recently they only had, I believe, only one Smash player, but has since included the likes of, well, as soon as I can bring up to it, Tomf, PPMD, and Nun. So all Melee players, they have, you know, Melee representation there. I thought it was a really cool announcement. Very creative. They're definitely gonna be doing some content with them, which is good, but anyway, an org can help facilitate, you know, a better means for players that are definitely out there proving themselves, making a grind, and can get supported, it's a win for me. I just thought their overall presentation was pretty sick. It was like a 10-minute video. They kind of made it as a direct. They did parodies of it. So if you had a chance to go check it out, I suggest you go check it out on their YouTube page, which is GG Melee on YouTube. What do we got? Oh, this one was a little fun piece. I wanted to do it last week, but... this is a segment we've done a couple times before, and this is the fighting game anniversaries. This is actually put together by a Reddit user called FG Anniversaries. Just did week 15 that has just passed, which is pretty sick. And I thought I had my actual title for it, but I guess I saved over it at some point. Nice. Anyway, he basically compiles a list as to what went on this week in a multitude of different years, which is pretty dope. It's kind of like weird to think that some of these things happened like so many years ago. So the fact that, let me see, we got the Guilty Gear Strive starter guide number one was on April 13th of 2020. You know, last year, it's already been a year since we started getting these guides out, and they're still getting them out to my knowledge. I don't think there's one for every player or every character yet. Let me see, what else is there? The Injustice 2 Scarecrow gameplay trailer, that was back in 2017 today.
Whoa.
Also the launch trailer for Injustice 1 was today, 8 years ago.
Meza, this means that in 2013, this week, we went to Civil War because Injustice just came out.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
Noble was announced as the first DLC character, and Injustice God's Among Us launch trailer. Sorry to interrupt you, but that's just reminiscing. Yeah.
Reminiscing for real.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a trip. Like, Injustice God's Among Us initially released in the U.S. April 16th, 2013.
I think Grover won that week, right? He won Persona against Lord Knight.
I thought LK did. I know we brought LK home.
Did he?
God, you're talking about Persona.
Sorry, he's gonna help our soul.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's been that long ago. It's kind of wild, but yeah. So he kind of broke down the entire week's worth of it, hitting a bunch of different things. I know the Injustice one was pretty big, but like Ultra Street Fighter 4 opening was. Our release date for it, 2015 on the PS4, 6 years ago, this week.
Oh, but the 2014 DiCapri, one was there.
The DiCapri alt costume reveal was back in 2015? Y'all remember this one?
I forgot that one. I forgot how to get that one.
Oh, man. I don't remember that. Cool.
I don't know how to get that one.
I remember I never the had it. One too, you don't like want it. Hugo.
I do remember this one. I'll ask Rob. He'll probably have an idea of how to get it. Because, you know, he has every damn costume for each Street Fighter game.
But yeah, so goes on to break down a whole lot of other things. Those were just some of the ones that stuck out at me that I'm just kind of like, ugh! That was just so long ago. Mortal Kombat 2 releasing on PS3 in North America. 2007.
Wow.
14 years ago. I still remember when Hyper Fighting got released on the Xbox Live. And I lost my damn mind for Street Fighter 2. And that like helped ignite so much. But yeah, if you guys want to check out more of these anniversaries, go check out the subreddit Fighters. Shout outs, of course, to FG Anniversaries. I always ask to make sure that we're able and allowed to post this up. It's amazing work. My man is out there archiving some of like incredible moments for us that we're just thinking it's just a memory, but now I don't realize how long it's been till you actually see a date tied to it. It's kind of wild. So with that, we've got one tweak here. Yeah, let hit me. All right, who hit me with the Gundam? Who's got right, who's got so Gundam? So
basically, if you guys didn't know, PlayStation is now taking over Mobile Suit Gundam Extreme versus Maxi Boost on, as they're going to be doing their 2v2s, and you could team up and actually do the tournament series, which just like BB Tag, Soul Calibur, and as well as I believe Mortal Kombat, they've been doing that.
Yep.
So you guys can definitely find your best friend, go do that now, and just tag team it all the way to the top. I mean, Sony's involved, so you know there's money. So just $100, you know, every week, and then you play in the monthly.
You also got, I think you got some exclusive wallpapers and such too.
And themes, also says championship on it. It says champion on it.
The sword for this Gundam is ridiculous. Anyway. Yeah, it is an open series. I actually am a fan of the open series for PlayStation. They've been doing it for Mortal Kombat, Soul Calibur, Blaze Blue, I believe, as well. Mm-hmm. Or BB Tag, excuse me, for quite some time. It's pretty sick. But yeah, I mean, they're just supporting. So this could just be one of those extra moves, right? You know, Sony did buy up Evo. They might be looking to really move into that market. This is just another play on it. But yeah, regardless, it's pretty cool to see support for another scene. You actually don't realize how big this scene is until you actually, you know someone, actually really start diving into it. It's fucking huge. Like, it is really, really big. The Gundam 2v2s or just 1v1s like this are really, really competitive. There is a very big growing scene. And I guess they see the same deal and they see the value in it and they decided, you know what? Hey, let's support these guys, even if it's at a small level.
You could Japan has such a big scene. It'd be nice to pull them over. Just to, you know, play in general, because online isn't that bad if you have
good internet. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So our last piece that we're actually going to get into, because I know this has been a little bit of a longer show, guys, just bear with us, is the community question. So we talked about this last week. I brought it up, and I want to hear from you guys. A community question, for those that don't know what it was, is with all the character archetypes that we have in fighting games, you know, we all have our own reasons to play certain characters. Could be the hair, could be the style, could be what they say, could be a super. I've seen people go as far as like, oh, their theme is cool, so I'm just going to play them because their theme. Like, it's, people got their reasons. But on the other side of that, especially in the competitive scene, and of course in the casual, but it mixes there, is with all the character archetypes that we have, your standards, your rushdowns, your mix-ups, zoners, trap, puppet, grappler, your half-blood grapplers that they don't know what the hell they're doing. They're like in a weird teenage phase where they just don't know anything. And then your stance, stack, slash, ammo, reload characters. Those are just the examples I gave out there. Which ones that you come across, you maybe are in training, a new opponent has entered the ring. You're like, all right, cool, let's jump in. And you see it's this character, this archetype, and you're just like, fuck! I don't want to play against this character. Or maybe this archetype. Which ones give you that feeling? I'll let you two guys go first.
I hate first playing everybody. I hate playing every character.
Every character that's not my character is the wrong archetype.
Every character gets on my nerves. But I'm thinking about all the games that I play, and I mean, you know how much I hate playing Alex. But
that is true.
Like, oh my god!
Quickest way to get under Static G's skin, play Alex.
It's because, I mean, I'm a nut, but Alex players are even more nutty. Because they know that they're bad, so they just do. So it's just wild.
That's some bold statement, so, sir.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Damn. Like, I mean, I hate fighting Poison, but it's bearable. It's not as bad as just fighting Alex, because they just think they can do so much. I don't know, man. It's tough, but I think it's more of a player, like a player mentality of like so a player who is so methodical. I think methodical, maybe. No, lately I'll tell you what.
Stanley doesn't like to play players that are better than him.
He likes to just stomp
and bully. Y'all heard it here.
I got it. The player that is that annoys me is one who doesn't condition. I talked about this recently. And it's, for me, it's more of a player. It's not a character. And when there's I guess you could say, when somebody's playing a character that ignores conditioning, that gets on my nerves. Because then there's not a mental stability there. So when the character, that's maybe why I hate Alex, because when I get knocked down, I know the options. The option is like crouch, like the down forward fierce, which is like, why is that negative two of some sort? I can't jump out because he might do it again. And it's like, it's the mind game there. And that ignores the conditioning on my end, because if I backdash, I still might get heavy kicked and crush countered. So
a character that emphasizes to not being read. That's the archetype that Static G just can't deal, or really can't be conditioned. Okay. Mm-hmm. That was a very, very not... My man he took the SATs and like there was no E option. He just wrote E and then circled the bubble for that one, like this kind. Completely out there. Sure. But I can understand that. Mezzo, what about you? What character do you see that you're just like, no?
I think anytime Virgil. I touch it, because I'm what? No, definitely not. I actually don't mind Virgil. I'm the type of player who's always been a rushdown player, who's been a methodical rushdown player. I've even picked up zoners that I've turned into rushdown characters with zoning tools. So ultimately, I hate any character who is pure zoning and can turn that into anything they want, because it slows me down. And I just say this from the standpoint of playing like against Morgan, playing against Peacock and, you know, Skullgirls. Like, I try to take what they do and make them aggressive characters so that people can't play them anymore like that. It's kind of like watching Guile turn into what Knuckle Dude did, so that now people are like, oh god, Guile can move? He's not just staying far away? So it's like, those are the characters I hate the most, but I want to take them apart and make them something different so people follow that. So I hate zoners. Zoners probably my most hated thing. Because I like to get in that ass.
All right,
it's an ass, you know.
Mine's is kind of the same route when it comes to G, where I'm gonna go a little bit off left field here. Is
grappler
non-committal characters. So if you don't know what that means, are the characters? So yeah, there's different. You can break down even more archetypes than the ones I listed. Those were just examples for you guys. You guys didn't have to stick to it. But for me, it was characters that are non-committal, as in they have an action that helps cover a certain aspect, certain range. Could be an example, a fireball, a very slow fireball, venoms, your guiles, your lauras, like Mezza said, where you can throw it out there and it'll still be out there, it'll still be active. They are free to still move and do something and cover an entire other range of the stage. So now I have two pieces, a character that creates multiple pieces for me that I have to worry about, but they don't have to commit to a specific one because it's a set it and forget it kind of deal. Those that tend to be the most annoying for me, because I have to always think of those two options, because 9 times out of 10, that one option covers the other in some way. Like if I do this, I will still get hit with a fireball here or with some sort of setup afterwards that's going to lead me into a bad situation. So a character that doesn't have to commit. Because I think when you commit to something, you're putting your read, you're putting your soul into that button, that guess, that read, whatever, that action, you're committing to it. You're locked into it. But then the characters are like, I will do this, but I don't have to commit to it because I got neutral, dog. I can still move. I'm in neutral stance. I can do what the fuck I want and do anything else. I could just do nothing and you still have to hold this because the fireball is out there. Those, I think, are the ones that I just get the most annoyed at playing, because I'm like, man, I have to sweat twice as hard just to be able to move while you're just like, set it, forget it, I get to do X, Y, and Z, good luck. That's the character archetype that I tend to have the most frustration playing against, because it also limits me even more, right? And you don't want to play fighting games to be limited. want to have limitless possibilities.
Good luck with that.
But you know, the goal of the opponent is to, you know, to stop you from doing that. All right, so let's take a look at some of the Discord's answers that we get from you guys. Once again, guys, if you want to get into the community questions, you just have to follow us on Discord. You'll find out more about this at the end of the show. So Leonix hits us with the kind of characters that drive me nuts are the ones that are like this, crazy hybrids of Unga Bunga, Mix Up, and Rushdown. Perfect example, Shadow Jago. If you can get your reads on, you can blow him up. But if you can't or your reactions are off, he's just pure overwhelming with his ability to attack you from a variety of angles. Yeah. Characters that are just smothering you. He doesn't like to be he likes his space. Like, come on, girl. Like, seriously, you're smothering me. Like, stay over there. It's cool. Stay on your side of the couch. I want to be here. Let's enjoy I don't know what show. Let's enjoy not WandaVision. Let's enjoy Falcon and the Winter Soldier together. But you be over there. All right. You're smothering me. That's what Leonix is telling me. He does not like to be smothered. He does not like to get hit at different angles. I can respect that. Because once again, it's limiting your options, but it's way faster too, right? It's like if you don't get the right read or your reaction times are not there and you can't blow them up for it, it's just not a really good feeling. You feel like you're just like, okay, this is a one player game. Nobody wants to be the two player in a one player game because that means you don't get to play. Let's see. Fatman333 hits us with characters I don't overly care for are pure zoners. Characters such as New 13, Dalsim, Jade, etc. I understand the game plan of fighting them, but the innate lack of patience definitely holds me back against them. Understood. Some people can't take a breather. Some people just want to go in. Example A, right here to my left, your left, my right. Mezzo,
my team works.
He just wants to go in. So if you're preventing him, if you're putting up the stop sign, if you're the crossing guard, making sure the kids can get through, Mezzo's already ready on the pedal because he's like, yo, I ain't got time for this. I'm going to run over to the damn kids because I'm trying to go.
Little kids shouldn't be shot.
I've seen Mezzo do this live. It's crazy. They never be in a car with Mezzo. That's my tip for everybody.
Stay at home.
If you ever meet this man in real life and he's like, yo, I'm going somewhere, don't get in the car with him. It's just, I actually don't want to do that.
Very slow. I actually get told I drive like a granny, and I'm like, it's because I have somebody in the car.
If Mez's insurance car insurance company is listening, I was just kidding. Don't jack up my man's rate. He looks at his email. What? 20% up. What's going on here? That lizard needs to pay. Karnofsky hits us with kind of an interesting take. He states it isn't so much a character type, but a type of move that I hate. Teleporting. I don't really mind Dalsim, but stuff like Ermac and MK9 always drove me insane. It doesn't help that about half of the MK characters can teleport in some way. Yeah, sorry, dog. If you're playing MK, yeah, you're going to deal with some teleports, whether they're actual like Scorpion-type teleports from left to right, or your Sectors that are just going to track you vertically, or your Shivas. God forbid you're playing MK11 right now, where Shiva's Dragon Stomp is just destroying the meta.
It's so hard to tell where she's coming from.
Yo, you really don't want to deal with that. But I can, because it's like, you know, it's about controlling space. And a teleport straight up ignores the idea of being zoned, straight up ignores any kind of effort towards that. It's just, I do this input and I am next to you, above you, behind you, or coming down to hit you. I can see why he could be like, you know what? Fuck that. Not about that life. Let's see. We kind of got a little bit of a reoccurring theme here. One last salute. He initially gave us who he liked playing, read it wrong, but it's cool, dog. I got you on the next community question.
No, I know what he said, though. I got it, though.
But then he instantly goes, oh, my bad. I had it wrong. Zoners. Yo, our listeners apparently just want to go in.
Yes.
I can respect that. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, Dr. Doobie. I feel like two archetypes that are a problem for new players / impatient players are zoners and, disclaimer, characters with super armor. Generally grapplers, pretty much any character that says, you want to push buttons, that's cute. Now die.
You know what's funny?
Pretty much sums it up.
I actually like that comment because I was going to say one thing I think we can all agree on is characters with super armor are the most annoying characters in the world. You just shouldn't deserve super armor for nothing, just to get everything.
Characters that are lacking in one area, but then getting it makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah, like Skrull. Skrull doesn't make sense. In Marvel, it doesn't.
It really doesn't. He has everything.
An EX move that gives you super armor makes sense. You traded a barometer to have maybe a hit of armor.
This character just spins and he has armor.
Yeah, I feel bad because I'm like, okay, well, I play Viking. Can't even low him. She could just eat all these moves, all these hits, and I can go in for a grab. But it's a low. Low vulnerable. So you just have to trip her or hit her down on low that you have to block low, and it doesn't matter. It's super armor, but technically not. It's like more like hyper armor because it's like you can get multiple hits in, but all you gotta do is hit low. That's how you balance it. But there are characters that just they don't give a shit. High, low, mid, overhead, it's all the behind same. The back, reach around. Monster don't care. You're gonna eat this.
Monster Hunter had that. She had all the tools. She was just a little slow, but that didn't stop her. Yep. I mean,
but it's a 2v2 but her game. Swinging that sword gave her that armor. Yeah, straight up. It was. That does it for the community question. That does it for the community question, guys. Thank you very much for getting the input there. I guess, you know, we know more or less now that people just want to rush in. I just want to press forward. W key. You know, 4 or 6. I don't want to hold back. There's no such thing. It's only forward. So I can appreciate it. Yeah, y'all just know what to do best. And I guess it's just to press some buttons and not let anybody else stop you. All right. So once again, thank you for everyone that did contribute to that. With that, guys, that's actually going to wrap up this episode. Man, I am definitely parched. I'm going to get me a big old glass of water after this. But thanks a lot for hanging out. Thanks a lot for sticking with us for another week of Double Tap. I know it's been a little bit longer, but we had plenty to carry on and cover. So I want you guys to make sure to follow this show at Double Tap FGC. You can follow me at CrashTagBS. You can follow Meza at Meza FGC. Newly added to the crazy for playing one game. I don't
one,
know.
The, one mentality. The name is. Yeah, we were crazy for playing just one game, but that's what we're expanding. Okay, gotcha. So it's just 1M. So you can just say 1M.
Okay, 1M. 1M Meza. Go check them out. Go check out the org on Twitter. Static G at Static Gorilla. On Twitter, on Twitch, he's still streaming Tomb Raider 2.
Trying to get past part 2, yeah.
Just in the Tibetan he's on 2 right now.
So he's stuck, huh?
There we go.
No, I haven't played in like a week.
There you go. Man, sometimes you're feeling it, sometimes you're not.
Stuck in Tibet, it is what it is. Man. Stuck in Tibet.
You don't want to see our pointy nipples?
Wow. the dial.
Dude, one stage took me like 3 hours, and then I forgot to save, and it took me to the previous stage. So there's that.
Listen, story for another time. Don't disrespect the Lara. Do not disrespect those 1, 2, 3, 4, like 4 polygons. They shaped a lot of kids' childhoods, all right? People ask a lot of questions. Anyway, yeah. So guys, make sure to follow us there. You can follow Mash Those Buttons at the Mash Network, of course, to check out when we go live, when the shows go up and running. Maybe you can check out the other shows that we have going on there on the MTV site. If you want to get involved on the community question or just want to talk some nonsense, make sure to follow us or actually join our Discord at mash.gg/Discord. There's a Double Tap section there. Get yourself an FGC flare. We'll start talking. We tend to post up articles, things that we want to discuss, like I said, community questions, as well as just regular articles that we'll include and cover here on this show. You can do that on the Discord, mash.gg/Discord. Go check it out. You guys can support the show by sharing. Support us by giving us review. We've been getting tagged lately on, you know, several different content lists that people are asking, like, oh, who's the content, like, you know, podcast you guys like to listen to? We've been getting tagged. All love to those that have been doing it. We appreciate it. And for those that are going to do it in the future as well. And to those that have already done it, too. We keep showing up on lists, and I'm just like, oh, that's very nice. I think there might be better shows out there, but you decided to sit down and listen to us and put us out there. So for that, appreciate you guys, for real. And yeah, like I said, sharing the show helps a whole lot, supports us, just getting in front of more people, and rating and reviewing the show, whether it's on Spotify, iTunes, wherever there is a reviewing system for it, on whatever podcast platform of it, please feel free to review the show. Give us some ideas as to what we're doing right so we can keep doing it, what we're doing wrong so we can go back, learn to match up, and come back even stronger. Make sure to stay tuned after the show for everything else that's going on here on the MTB Network. I'm Crash. That's Meza. Hey, hold on, am I right?
Yep.
That's Meza. Right. That's Static G. I'm going to go get some water. Remember, if they're plus, don't respect it. Press a button.
DP.
See you guys next week. We'll be live once again. DP, just do it. Who cares? All right. Till then, you guys have a good week. See you guys later.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/themashnetwork, facebook.com/mashthosebuttons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/discord.